Coming up, two upstate perps attempt to carjack and kidnap a woman at gunpoint. An upstate woman? Yeah. Well, they don't get away with it, but they don't get caught either. Until the sheriff's department deploys their facial recognition technology. Wait, what? They have facial recognition technology? Ryan Flood with the sheriff's office will be here to explain. I'm really curious how this works. I'm kind of curious how far along they are with this. So he'll be by at 8:20 to talk to us. And from the no good deed goes unpunished file. This is why, folks, you just can't help people anymore. Not in this crazy world. You might want to, but not if it involves getting out of your car and pulling over. I swear. Did you see this? Anderson County deputies are trying to find a man who they say stole the car of a person who stopped to help accident victims. A driver in a 2009 Honda Pilot stopped to assist drivers who were involved in a wreck. When the driver was on the phone with 911 dispatchers trying to help them out, "Hey, there's been a wreck here. I'm a good Samaritan." A man who was involved in the wreck asked to put his dog in the driver's vehicle to keep it warm. Oh, the old dog in the vehicle trick. Actually, no, I've never heard that one before. But it worked. The man got into the driver's seat with the dog, but then fled the scene in the Honda. Hasn't been seen since. See, just, you can't help people out. You can't. Not like you could years ago. It's a mess. All right, so James Comey was on a tear yesterday. Is it just me, or does he sound panicked to you? Does he sound like he's kind of coming undone? He should be. I'll explain why. Because the whole conspiracy is coming undone. We'll get into that later in the hour. But first, I want to play this for you. This is James Comey now. And then I'm going to play James Comey a couple weeks ago for you. So you can contrast the two. And really appreciate what a lying, stinking rat he is. Former head of the FBI, James Comey. Comes out of the closed door meeting with Congress yesterday and just goes on a tear. By the way, note that one of the first things he does here is defend Hillary. It's striking. And this could be Exhibit A in his extremely politically biased file. I mean, this is a guy you can, but given the partisanship of this guy, his reflexive defense of Hillary, who he has admitted under oath committed crimes. I play you that audio all the time. And Tuma, her sidekick, committed crimes for her. And he did nothing about it. Nothing whatsoever. Her 302 was written the same day they interviewed her. Nothing recorded. No, like, video recording, no audio recording. Nothing. She gets off scot-free. He admits she commits the crimes, but that is like with no reasonable prosecutor. I mean, she didn't mean to. Two standards of justice. Here is the incredibly biased James Comey still defending Hillary to this day. A person whose crimes are easily documentable, including by Comey, who admitted she committed them. He just thought that she probably didn't know better. Yet Comey, who has delineated Hillary's crimes, cannot delineate Trump's. Yet he supposes Trump has committed them anyway in this. The irony in this is amazing.
So another day of Hillary Clinton's emails and the Steele dossier. This while the President of the United States is lying about the FBI, attacking the FBI, and attacking the rule of law in this country. How does that make any sense at all? Republicans used to understand that the actions of a president matter, the words of a president matter, the rule of law matters, and the truth matters. Where are those Republicans today? At some point, someone has to stand up and in the face of fear of Fox News, fear of their base, fear of mean tweets, stand up for the values of this country and not slink away into retirement, but stand up and speak the truth. I find it frustrating to be here answering questions about things that are far less important than the values that this country is built upon.
Here's some more James Comey.
And as far as hurting the FBI's reputation, I hope not. We had to make very hard decisions in 2016. I knew we were going to get hurt by it. The question was, how do we reduce the damage? What I'm doing now is not what I love to do. I'd rather not be talking to you all. But somebody has to stand up and speak for the FBI and the rule of law. And I hope there's a whole lot more somebody's out there than just me.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Here's James Comey a couple of weeks ago. at a liberal gathering hosted by CBS News talking head Laura O'Donnell. And they're sitting around. And Comey, being the narcissist he is laughing about how he set up Flynn. He's laughing about how he got away with it. Yeah, it was so funny. We lied to him. We couldn't find a crime, so we lied to him. It was great. Yeah, we lied to him, and we said, no, you don't need an attorney. This isn't an investigation. Oh, he's so stupid. He got away with it anyway. Take a listen. This is the real James Comey before a liberal crowd laughing.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. The protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years.
That's so funny.
And in both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
So funny. Yeah, and then they lied to him. They lied to Flynn. Yeah, it was great. Didn't tell him he was under investigation and that lying to them would be a crime. So Flynn just withheld what he talked about for Kislyak. Now, why would Flynn do that? Think about what was going on at the time. The Russia hysteria was already in the news. It was being driven by the FBI. And they come in and start talking to you about Russia. You know you haven't committed a crime. The FBI has the transcript of the Flynn conversation with the Russian ambassador. There's no crime in it. They've never claimed there was. But they needed one. And so they go into the White House and they attempt to gig Flynn. Now, you have to understand something. And Mark Stein did a brilliant job of explaining this on Rush yesterday. I'm going to recap it quickly for those of you who weren't listening. If you are as high ranking as Flynn, you get up to 2-star, 3-star general. These FBI agents, they're on every military base. They're in every country. And if your job is foreign relations, as Flynn's was in this administration, you talk to them almost daily. So for them to stop by, it's not a big deal. Happens all the time. Had been happening his entire career in the military, at least till he got to, as he got to the top of it. So Comey, rule of law, and blah, blah, blah. Here's the real James Comey.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
Well, it happened because they lied to Flynn in order to get Flynn to lie to them so they could charge him with it.
I sent them. I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation.
Here's Daryl Issa, Republican Representative Daryl Issa, addressing Comey's speech yesterday.
What we're seeing again is an out of the control, corrupt, and I repeat that, corrupt FBI director who was on a mission and forgot that his number one mission was to protect national security.
Yeah, protect national security. So he's screaming about the rule of law yesterday. And his FBI said that Michael Flynn should have known. He should have guessed he was under investigation. Well, when you tell him he doesn't need his attorney, why would he guess that? He should have known, though. He should have known. Well, shouldn't a Hillary have known that C stands for classified? I just asked you, shouldn't she have known? Because she had the training. Or is there a different legal standard for her? Or Huma. Shouldn't have Huma have known, who had the same classified data training, that you can't send the classified data to your unsecure Yahoo account? Shouldn't Huma have known? Oh, but Huma did know. Huma did know, but it didn't matter. Here's how James Comey applies the rule of law to people he likes.
Is there an investigation with respect to the two of them?
There was. It is. We completed it.
Why did you conclude neither of them committed a crime?
Because with respect to Ms. Abbott in particular, we didn't have any indication that she had a sense that what she was doing was
And he finishes up there. I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button. In violation of law. So he admits, yes, she did break the law, but she didn't know she was breaking the law. This is the same FBI that went into that court in the last week with Flynn and said he should have known. He should have known he was under investigation. Well, Hillary should have known what C stood for. But if we feel like she just didn't know, because she's just too damn dumb to understand what the training meant, then we can't apply the law to her. But Flynn, now, Flynn, we are going to get. Was there an underlying crime in the Hillary thing? Yeah. They put highly classified information in a place it is not allowed by law to be. Crime. Was there an underlying crime in the Flynn thing? Mm-mm. Nothing in his conversation with Kislyak was illegal. Yet they went in and tricked Flynn into lying to them, which, by the way, the original agent who wrote it didn't think that Flynn had even lied. But Huma and Hillary get the they probably didn't know standard. And Comey wants to lecture us about the rule of law. Are you kidding me? Well, this could have ended badly. Woman is at the ABC liquor store on Augusta Road, and she's, you know, making some purchases. And she is confronted by two brothers on her way out. They attempt to carjack her outside the Greenville County liquor store. That's scary. Charles Presley, one of the two brothers, pulls out a gun and gets in the victim's car while his brother Brian, love to meet the mom of these two, while his brother Brian used his car to block her in. Real gentlemen, these two. Charles Presley then tried to get the victim to drive, but she refused. Smart, that's exactly what you should do. But she refused to do so. He tried to steal the victim's purse, but she fought him off before the brothers eventually gave up and fled without getting anything from her. But what is fascinating about this, aside from the fact, thank God, she wasn't kidnapped, is how the sheriff's department was able to catch them. Joining me to talk about that is Lieutenant Ryan Flood. Good morning, Lieutenant.
Good morning.
Okay, so I saw this and I went, okay, good. They got him. Wait, what? You caught them with facial recognition software? That is awesome. And I wanted to know how that works. How you were able to do it? Does somebody have to submit a picture or a video feed, or how does that work?
Exactly. And I mean, I'm sure data works. The software company that develops this program, it has a much more sophisticated system on the back end. But for us, mm-hmm. it's relatively simple. As long as we have an image that is clear enough, we submit it to the database, and within seconds, we get potential matches. Sometimes there's no match. Sometimes there's several matches, and sometimes it's pinpointed, specific, that's our guy. And in this case, we were able to use tattoo identifiers and confirm his identity through that.
So what is the database that they run the photos of these guys against? What does that contain? I assume it's what people with criminal records or?
Well, sure. So this software has actually existed for a while, but mm-hmm. nothing this broad of a spectrum that we're able to choose from. So this not only has mugshots of those who have been charged in the state of South Carolina, but it also pulls from DMV files. So anyone who has been issued any sort of identification.
Now, it would seem to me, okay, if you've been issued identification by the state of South Carolina, then you're in there. That means I'm in there.
Correct.
You're in there. Wow. Okay. So it would seem to me then that anybody who gets caught on camera is pretty much going down, right? You're going to get them. But is that not the case?
Well,
because I've never heard of you guys solving this way before. You may have, and maybe the media just didn't report it.
The first one that we had, and Fox Carolina actually did a story on it, was an August 17th robbery at the GT's Express Mart. And that was the first successful case that we had that we were able to use this facial recognition software. So it is relatively new to us.
Wow.
But the important thing to note is for, you know, business owners, people, residents, people who are looking to invest in surveillance, invest in a good enough quality to where those images are going to be able to assist us. Because if it's not of a certain clarity, then it's not going to work. We'd have to have, not to be 4K, but it has to be clear enough that the database can recognize the face.
So did you begin, Lieutenant Ryan Flood, and you were with the sheriff's office, did you begin using this in August then, this facial recognition software?
The robbery occurred in August. It was either August, end of August, early September, whenever we obtained it from SLED.
Okay, cool. So is this going to be how you do things going forward then? You're going to try to get video because you can identify. I mean, do you anticipate solving a lot more crimes now that you have this?
I think so. I think it's just an additional tool that we have. You know, if there were no witnesses that come forward and we're able to show these photographs, the photographs are only as good as people can who can recognize them. And if we're not getting any feedback of who this might be, now this is another tool that we can put this through the system and potentially get some matches. And another plus, too, is we could potentially go back and look at some unsolved cases that had surveillance footage, but we're not able to get any identification on the suspect. We could potentially put these into the database as well.
With with cameras everywhere now, it seems, private cameras, public cameras, and this is why I did this interview this morning, Lieutenant Ryan Flood. This really is a warning, kind of warning shot over the bow. Look what we can do now. You better be careful if you're going to go do something like this in public.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is that I think historically speaking, criminals are not the brightest.
No.
And even though they might know that this software exists, they're still more likely going to be going out there, you know, with that. And you know, sometimes, obviously, you have robberies for going back as far as time existed and crimes have existed. They're going to cover their faces and whatnot. But there are also times whenever criminals do slip. And this is just another tool that we could use when that happens.
I know in L.A., I read an unbelievable story in the Los Angeles Times. It's been a couple of years now where there was a shooting and they actually killed the clerk at a convenience store. And they had just finished hooking all of the government-owned cameras, this was in a very large section of L.A., up to the facial recognition software. So they're years ahead of us. And they literally, the guy drove off, no witnesses. They had him before he got home. And they were able to run his face and his plate, and they got him that fast. And the news media was floored there because this had never happened before, and they didn't know that that the police there had even gotten this technology, much less that it had already been hooked up to the cameras. What do you anticipate doing with this facial recognition software going forward? Do you have any plans, you know, to sync it with government-controlled cameras that I know the state has, or what?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. That's an interesting possibility, though, and I had not heard about that. But it's, as time evolves, the methods in which we investigate crimes through technology also evolves. And so that, I think, is just it's another tool. It's a big plus for us. And hopefully we can get a lot of these crimes solved through this technology.
Well, I'm glad that these brothers didn't get away with it. And good work. Good work with you guys. Look forward to seeing more of these crimes solved this way as well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, our investigators, they do a great job, and this is just another tool to help them continue doing a good job. So I appreciate that.
All right. Lieutenant Ryan Flood, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 106.3 WORD. As I expected, I'd love to see a criminal get busted, especially one that gangs up on a lady. But some of you saying, wait, what? When do we consent to have our state ID photos being sold to private businesses so they can earn money and government can spy on us? Another texter writes, how long before the government abuses this database? And finally, facial recognition is a scary thing, and I believe Facebook was actually a government project having to do with it. All right, so they campaigned on a second tax cut, those Republicans. But they didn't get around to it. Too busy. Too busy doing what? 300,000 visas for Indians to take Americans' jobs, white-collar jobs. Because we already gave all the blue-collar jobs away. But wait, what about the tax cuts you campaigned on? You didn't campaign on giving away 300,000 American jobs. Yeah, but that's what's a priority for us. Well, how about that wall we wanted? You know, us, the base of your party that supports a wall at an 80%+ rate. How about that? Yeah, y'all lost the Congress, the Democrats. But you got time. You had time after the election. Had a couple of months, actually. Did y'all get away under that? No. Well, what do these yahoos running Congress have time for? Oh, time to let pedophiles out of prison. Because, you know, that's what Americans want. When you ask me, what do I want? I think, how many pedophiles can I set free today? No, nobody wants pedophiles set free. But that's exactly what this stupid bill does. I've been meaning to get to this first step. This is outrageous. Let me tell you what's going on here, okay? When I began my reporting career, I was doing all kinds of different stuff. I was covering county, city. I was doing everything for a small newspaper. And then I started hearing about these criminals were getting out. I mean, the worst that I can think of is this woman who shot a cop in the back of the head. He put her in the back. This is in Charlotte. He put her in the back seat. And that's before they had the bulletproof glass, right? He didn't search her properly. So she decided to execute him with a shot to the back of the head. She got life. And then she got out in 20 years. Well, wait, she got life. Oh, yeah, that was before structured sentencing. And so what I was seeing was these people, and this is, you know, the sentence, people who were sentenced up through the early 90s, right? And a lot of them, they got life, or they got, you know, 40 years, 50 years for murder. And they're doing 10. People, you know, you got 40, 50 for murder, you're doing 10 years. You get life for murder, you're doing maybe 20. And that's because of this easier sentencing. And crime was out of control in the country. It was exorbitant, out of control in the country. Crime rates have since fallen by half in most violent crime categories. And that's because we did away with fair sentencing and we went to structured sentencing. And what structured sentencing said was that you had to serve at least 80% of your sentence. Whereas before, people were serving, you know, a third, a quarter, whatever the judge felt. You know, if it was Tuesday and he was having a bad day, you got a low sentence. It was whatever. It was absolute chaos. And you had mayhem on the streets. Well, this First Step Act reverses a lot of it. Not all of it. It's not going to be as bad as it was, but it's still pretty bad. And now we're finding out what's in it and that it's a crap sandwich. Among the crimes eligible for reductions, early release, it fails to exclude a number of very serious felonies, including violent ones. Who puts this stuff in these bills? Among the crimes, this is according to Senator Tom Cotton, not excluded are certain kinds of child molestation, because, you know, we really should forgive those guys. They're great. Sex trafficking, love those guys too. Who could blame them? Assaults on law enforcement officers. Violent bank robberies, carjackings, hate crimes. Oh, and fittingly, the First Step Act would also allow early release for accomplices in jailbreaks. Tell that to the folks in Pickens County. Another crime still eligible for early release is a common statute used to prosecute sex offenders who attempt to coerce children into illicit activity, often through the internet. Yeah, we're cool with everybody. Listen, nobody blames those guys. It could happen to anybody. What the heck is Congress doing? And shame on Trump, too. There are 1,446 sex offenders in federal prison convicted under this statute, Tom Cotton writes, and not one of them deserves to be released a day early. See, okay, let me explain something to you, because I didn't understand this myself. People have been given this view that, well, you know, most of the people in prison, they just got caught with a dime baggie of pot. You could have too in high school. And they're there for like, I don't know, 40, 50 years. And it's just a travesty. These people are just like you and I. And it's just so unfair. They're imprisoned. A lie. Do you know what is in the federal system? The federal prison system is very different from the state and local system. The federal system are the worst, most violent, most hardcore criminals. And they're the criminals that conspire to commit crime. And so what happens in communities, even the size of Charlotte, where I come from, is that the criminal conspiracies, the gangs, the international gangs, the human traffickers, the killers, the cartels, these people, these really, really bad people, drug dealers who've had so many witnesses murdered that they've never been convicted, and the local police throw their hands up and call the feds in. These are the cases where the local police are like, we need federal help here. We can't get this done. They are those in the federal system, not the county or state system. The federal system are the worst of the worst. And that's who we're letting out. That's who we're letting out. That's whose sentences we are reducing by up to a third. This is a travesty. By the way, do you know how many criminals are this will release? 53,000 inmates. By the way, it'll cost taxpayers $346 million because they'll be eligible for welfare once they get out. So this is awesome. So we're going to, let me see what we're going to do here. We're going to put 1,446 sex offenders on welfare and let them out early. Honestly. You poll Americans, what percentage of America you think is for that? What, 7%, 8%? I mean, this is absurd. What are we doing this for? An example of a felon who deserves to serve his entire sentence in prison but won't under First Step is NASCAR driver Richard Crawford. He's a former NASCAR driver who was convicted in August of trying to force a 12-year-old girl to have sex with him. Great guy other than that, though. Totally let him out. Crawford was sentenced to nearly 11 years in federal prison, but the statute he was convicted under does not appear in First Step's ineligible prisoners list. If the bill passes, he will therefore be eligible for time credits that would reduce his prison time by up to one-third, or nearly 4 years. At the end of his prison sentence, he would be moved into pre-release custody or supervised release. He'd essentially be a free man. You support that? Yeah. But see, the problem is that the news media has created this image of these people in prison again. It's just, you know, look, he just bought a little marijuana. He never tried it before. The feds framed him. He just had time back. That's all. He's doing like 40 years. Folks, even the drug dealers in federal prison, I mean, even the guys caught with drugs, they're hardcore dealers. They're the ones, when the feds went to the local police and said, who are the worst drug dealers in your community? Who are the toughest to take out? Who are the ones doing the most crime? And that's who they went after. That's who's in federal prison. That's who we're letting back out. It's a disaster. You're going to see crime spike. There's just no other way around it. It's going to go right up. Stupidity. But they did have time to let the sex offenders out, but they did not have time. These Republicans running Congress right now for that second tax cut, they promise you. It's just, but you know, sex offenders, so much more important.
And now, another day of totally tantalizing Trump tweets.
Talk is cheap and tweets are cheap.
On The Tara Show.
America cannot afford a Twitter presidency.
Oh, shut up!
106.3 WORD.
I'm really not a bad person, by the way.
It's the biggest, most explosive story in the country, which is why the mainstream media is not talking about it. But your humble host is, and so is the president. Trump tweet, Michael Isikoff was the first to report dossier allegations and now seriously doubts the dossier's claims. Bingo, this is huge. The whole Russian collusion thing was a hoax, but who is going to restore the good name of so many people whose reputations have been destroyed? Nobody. Trump tweet, 41 minutes ago, Russia dossier reporter now doubts dopey Christopher Steele's claims. When you get into the details of the Steele dossier, the specific allegations, we have not seen the evidence to support them. Folks, the only thing there is left to the Russian conspiracy theory is the dossier. We have not seen the evidence to support them. There's good grounds to think that some of the more sensational allegations will never be proven and are likely false. Thank you, Michael Isikoff, Yahoo, for honesty. What this means is that the FISA warrants and the whole Russian witch hunt is a fraud. Yes, bingo. Ding, 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 ding. Because what? The dossier was used to get the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. And a hoax, which should be ended immediately. Also, it was paid for by Crooked Hillary and the DNC. Okay, let's think about what's just happened here in the last 2 weeks. This is mind-numbing. James Comey, the head of the FBI, the guy in charge of the biggest scandal since Watergate, tells a congressional committee he does not know if the dossier was real or not. Doesn't know, he's just too stupid. But Michael Isikoff, the reporter who broke the story, does know. Huh? How does Michael Isikoff know that the allegations in the dossier will never be proven and are likely false? But James Comey, who used it to get the FISA application to spy on Trump and told the FISA court, perjury, that it had been verified, does not know. How are those two things possible in the same time-space continuum? They're not. Comey lied.